Governor, let's start with the pardons yesterday. A lot of pardons out there from President Biden, who pardoned several members of his family and the government before he left office. And then, as we mentioned, President Trump pardoned those involved with January 6th. What did you make of the abundance of pardons we saw yesterday?
I think the pardon process by both governors, Governor Cooper, President Trump and President Biden, and President Clinton and President Obama, the process is being abused. It's a right of them, but to not be transparent, to not deal with every case individually, to do preemptive pardons, I think is abuse of the system, too. And to pardon people on their last day in office when they had 4 years to do it and to go through a process and to explain it to the American people, I think is an abuse of that power. So I'll be across the board. As someone who actually gave pardons and had a process to do it and a committee to review every pardon, I gave no pardons on the last day of my tenure. Because I didn't believe in abusing the pardon power. I just think this whole thing needs to be revisited. So that's how I feel about the pardons.
Well, in terms of pardon reform, is there anything that can be done to reform the process?
I don't know if there's anything that can be done, but we shouldn't let governors or presidents off the hook, regardless of their party affiliation, on not doing their job. And I think it was really meant to be a protective, something that was very protective, something that was very rare. And I don't believe in across-the-board pardons. I don't believe in preemptive pardons. And I don't believe that pardons should be given out on the last day in office.
Governor,
and it's something I didn't do, and I took it very seriously.
Governor, outside of the pardons, what else stood out about the executive orders that the president signed yesterday?
Well, something that related to me in my tenure is something that I got canceled on, and our state got canceled on. Very pleased that President Trump is finally defining gender, which I requested back 9 years ago. I wrote a letter to President Obama, to our legislative leaders in Washington, and to our courts, that we need to define gender as according to the 1965 Civil Rights Act. And of course, you know, I was canceled. Our state was canceled. Some people say I lost my reelection because of it, but I always felt we did the right thing. We used common sense and biology and science, and I don't think we're going to see the cancel culture come back on this anymore in any state or in our nation, whether it be by PayPal or the NCAA or the ACC or Ringo Starr, my favorite drummer, or Bruce Springsteen, one of my favorite artists. And it'll be interesting what Josh Stein says about that, because, of course, Roy Cooper was very active in that whole cancel process at that time. So I'm glad to see the president clarify something that I think is very important for the values and norms of our country, that we've lived them by generations at this point in time. So maybe we are a little ahead of our time.
There were a lot of promises that the president made in his inaugural address yesterday. How likely is it that he gets all of these things done that he talked about in his inaugural?
Well, I think the most serious one that I'm glad he's put emphasis on is our spending and our debt, because our nation can no longer afford this debt. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up to us, the trillions of dollars being that is in deficit, the unfunded liabilities. So I'm glad to see him take a serious look at it. He's got some smart people reviewing it. It'll be interesting if people have the courage to actually stop the unfiltered spending that both our nation and many states, including North Carolina, are involved in right now. Because I'm worried about the next generation and the generation after that of being able to afford the spending that we're doing today. I'm very pleased that President Trump is putting emphasis on that.
Visiting with former North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory. The president took office yesterday. Now we're already looking ahead. He is, in theory, a lame duck president. Can't run for another term. This is his second term. Do you see anybody being the next rising star that could replace President Trump once he leaves office in 2028?
Well, I think the immediate person would be J.D. Vance. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be a tough situation, because when does he start running? And he's got to be very careful not to do it too early. But there's going to be a free-for-all. And a lot of it's going to be depend upon how successful President Trump is going to be in during the next 2 years, and if the majority of the people are still with him. So that's going to make the big difference, because if he does a good job, he's going to be probably picking his successor. If he doesn't do a good job, my gosh, there's going to be a free-for-all from both parties, and maybe even a third party. But I'm hoping for the best.
Hey, Governor, you mentioned the third party, and you did a lot of work with the No Labels Party. Do you see that party or something similar potentially being revisited as we look ahead to 2028?
I see No Labels playing a role in Congress probably more than anything, especially with the close majority that the Republicans have in getting legislation passed, trying to get a coalition to get legislation passed. I think they could play a role in that regard in Congress.
Governor, turning our focus a little closer to home now, the General Assembly set to return to Jones Street a little later this month. Anything you're watching out of this first few weeks of the General Assembly's next session?
Spending. I'm watching spending, and we've got a dilemma. I'm very proud of when I was governor that we did control spending. We paid off our debts. We brought up unfunded liabilities, very similar to what Dale Falwell did as treasurer, and I was very proud of him for doing that. But, you know, with the Western North Carolina recovery still in place, I'm glad to see Josh Stein put some emphasis on that. It's going to be interesting to see the follow-through. But the other thing is our infrastructure. How are we going to pay for future infrastructure as we continue to grow at rates much greater than almost every state in the nation?
You know, we talked, I think, the last time you were on, about the relationship between Governor Stein and the General Assembly, given some of the lawsuits and taking the power away by the General Assembly, that sort of thing. How do they work together, the Governor's Office and the General Assembly, to have a better relationship than maybe the previous administration?
Well, I hope they do a better job than what we did with the legislature and Governor Cooper. But I don't think they're going to have any choice, because they're going to have to get some legislation passed through cooperation, because we do not have a supermajority in the House at this point in time. So they're going to have to work together, especially with our Western North Carolina issues, our infrastructure issues, our health care issues. And so they're going to have no choice, and I hope they do work together for the sake of our state. I don't like these power struggles that are going on. The Democrats did it to Jim Martin, and now the Republicans are doing it to Josh Stein, like they did it to Roy Cooper, and frankly, like they did it to me. I believe in separation of powers. I think Governor Cooper maybe abused it during COVID, and I disagree with my Republicans who are weakening the governor's power. And I think the checks and balances have got to be very careful at this point in time, where no one branch of government becomes too powerful.
Governor, as I let you go, would like your perspective on the new Speaker of the State House, Representative Destin Hall. How might that dynamic in the House be different than it was with Tim Moore, who served so long as the House Speaker?
I think his role model should be Tom Tillis, on how Tom really led as Speaker of the House when I was governor. You know, he had a red light, green light, yellow light on which bills we're going to really spend time on, which bills we're going to just put on the side, and which bills we might look for the long term. And I'd highly recommend it. Tom was a great Speaker of the House and a very conservative Speaker of the House, fiscally conservative. And he was a great partner for me when I was governor. And I think we got more things done in 2 years than any administration in the last several decades. So I would recommend he follow that model of being a real leader instead of a follower on what his, you know, when you're speaker, it's a tough job. It is a very tough job. But you got to decide, do you lead from ahead or do you just follow? Excuse my dog. I apologize. The workers are coming.
Former North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory. Governor, always appreciate your time and your perspective. Thanks so much for joining us today. We look forward to talking again very soon.
God bless. Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much.